Welcome to worship with Central Presbyterian Church, 133 Genesee Street in the Village of Avon. Reverend Karen Farmer, pastor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you're welcome to worship on this Sunday morning. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. To this peace we are called as members of a single body. The peace of Christ be with you all. Of righteousness, so I may enter and give thanks to the Lord.
Thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone the builders rejected is the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous.
This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us worship God.
Page 109 of the New Testament. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This ends our first reading.
Our second reading for this day is from John's first letter. It's in chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Let us listen for God's word. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This ends our second reading for this morning. The first reading, the vine and the branches, makes it clear that we are connected. We are connected into Jesus as the vine. We are also not the only branch. We are connected to others as the other branches. And I would argue we need to be concerned about the well-being of other branches. If you have a plant and some of the limbs are not healthy, it gets to be a problem. 1 John 4 takes this even more explicitly. It is clear. God is love. God is love. To be clearer yet, if you remember the logic puzzles from back in school, this does not mean that love is God. It doesn't reverse. Sort of like a poodle is a dog does not mean that all dogs are poodles. There are golden doodles and chihuahuas and shepherds and retrievers. God is love. And God as love means God defines what love looks like. Gospel of John and his letter says God's love looks like this. Jesus came into our world and laid down his life. That's love. Stepping down from power positions, stepping down from his heavenly authority to come into a stable, to be willing to walk the road that then will lead to the cross. Love looks for the least. It looks for the lost. And according to this reading, love makes us bold. Bold enough to say that other people should have the blessings we have. Bold enough to say the hungry should be fed. That homeless people should have shelter. That everyone should feel safe in their homes. That the sick should be cared for. We can be bold enough to say kids should be educated. All kids, not just my kids, but everybody's kids. We're called on to be bold. And we can be bold because, as 1 John reports, love casts out fear. And it's important because sometimes we get afraid. And sometimes we're afraid of those who are not like us. But if God loves us and loves us first, then we can love others and we can love everyone, those who are not like us, those with a different race or different gender, different orientation, different religion, different customs, different education, different hopes and dreams. We can love others, no matter how other they are. It is hard for me to be clearer, but in the last few years, I've started to see more and more nonsense and theological nonsense out there. So I will say that if the sentence begins, "God hates," and is followed by a group of people, it's not right. It is flat out wrong. Christians out there proclaiming that God hates certain people have not read 1 John. Or, alternately, they have completely missed the point of Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. If you remember the story, somebody comes up to Jesus and says, "What are the most important rules?" And Jesus responds, "Love God, love your neighbor as yourself." And the questioner then says, "Well, who's my neighbor?" And Jesus tells a story of a man who's traveling along the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's set upon by thieves who beat him up, leave him for dead, take his stuff. A priest sees him and crosses on the other side. Doesn't want to get involved. Some would say, well, if the man's dead and the priest touches a dead body, then he can't go to work at the temple. He'd have to go and be cleansed before he could go to work. Others say then the next guy who comes along is a Levite, who's also somebody who works for the temple, but in a lesser role. And he also crosses over on the other side. And then this Samaritan walks by, sees somebody lying half dead, and instead of going well around, approaches. Sees the man still alive. Gets him on his donkey. Takes him to shelter. Pays for his care. And says, "Hey, if you run up a tab, I'll pay the rest on my way back through town." Now, Samaritans in Jesus' day were other. They were other religion. They were other nationality. They were kind of looked down upon as, you know, those people. And so Jesus tells a parable where that person is the hero, and then looks at the guy who's asking questions and says, "All right, who's the neighbor?" It's the one who helped. Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." So your neighbor is everybody, anybody who happens to be in need, and it doesn't matter how other they are to you. That's Jesus' definition. Anybody's got an issue, you can take it up with him. So not only have people who are proclaiming that God hates certain people missed parts of Scripture, but I would argue if you're parked in my tradition, they've also missed parts of the confessions. which teach us how to interpret the Bible. It's one of those questions we ask when elders and deacons come forward. Will you be guided by the confessions? This is a part of that. The confessions help us interpret the Bible as a whole. And that's a piece of it. You don't get to cherry pick your favorite verses. It's the Bible as a whole. And then the next piece is you take your Bible verses in context. Not only in the context of the book itself, like if you're in Luke or you're in John or you're reading Leviticus or whatever, in the context of that book, but also in the context of history. When was this written? What was normal at the time? How shocking and outrageous is it when women and foreigners are brought to the forefront? It'll be a big deal when you're a tribal society, and a big deal when you're a patriarchal society. We look at the context of the books, the context of history. One of my favorite lines is, if something is confusing, and the Bible can be confusing, clearer parts of it should light up the unclear parts. And finally, it goes back to the two rules that Jesus says. If your Bible interpretation does not lead you to love God more and love your neighbor more, you need to go back because it's not right. The Bible should lead to greater love for God and greater love for others. In fact, just this morning, and I don't know if the clergy network, coaching network, looks at the lectionary, but they posted to Facebook, loving our neighbors is not the same as simply not hating them. Love is not a lack of hate or of anything else. According to Scripture, love has form and content and compels us to act. It compels us to actively seek the well-being of others. That ties in nicely with God is love, actively seeks the well-being of others. Amy Weatherly puts it in a slightly more humbling fashion as she records a conversation. Sometimes God is like, I need you to love people. And I'm like, oh, they're so annoying. And God's like, you know, I love you all the time. And I'm like, but I'm not annoying. I'm delightful. And God's like, and I'm like, fair enough. Or maybe another way to put it is a poem by Moja Kaff. The poem is called Most Wanted. And this is the poem. Warning, God has slipped the noose. We must confirm the worst of our righteous fears. God has escaped the mosque, the synagogue, the church, where we have locked up God for years. God is on the loose. Henceforth, beware. You may find God in heathen beauty. You may stumble upon God unaware. Take appropriate measures. You may have to behave as if each human being could reflect God's face. If every single person is made in the image of God, we ought to love all of them. John really doesn't give us an out. God is love. We are called to love. I'll be clear. It's not easy. Because sometimes we're delightful and sometimes not so much. But that doesn't change that our call is to love. It's good news for us because we are deeply loved. It is good news for our world that needs to be loved. Amen.
Listening to the 10 a.m. service from Central Presbyterian Church in the Village of Avon. This radio ministry has been made possible by Stokey Farms, 656 South Road in Scottsville. We at Central Presbyterian Church believe that the love of God should flow through us to our members, our community, our nation, and the world. Visit us on the web at cpcavon.org or call 226-2626.